Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Beitza, Daf Lamed Dalet. And we're going to begin at the very bottom of Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis by the two dots. I know we did this yesterday, but it's kedai to run over it again real quickly. We said in the Mishnah yesterday, we quoted three lines from the bottom, Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, Vei Melabnes HaRa'ofim. We said that you're not allowed to go heat up these tiles on Yontif. And the Gemara asked, what is the problem with that? Micah of it, what exactly is the Isser involved in heating up tiles on Yontif? After all, you're allowed to cook. So why can't you do this? So we gave two reasons. So Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chan, Amar Yochanan. Rabba Bar Chan was the first reason, the name of Yochanan. Chocha B'Rafoyim Chadoshim Askin. And we're talking about brand new tiles that had never been heated up before. And therefore, Mipnei, and we turn to Lamed Dalet Amar Aleph, Shetzorich Levatkon. You have to go and check them out when they get heated up, as Rashi had said, in Lo Yuchlu Lelibun, if they're capable of accepting the heat, Hilkach Biyontif, Lo, you're not allowed to do this, because Dilma Poke Vishtakach the Torah Shelo Letzorich. If you go heat them up, maybe they can't stand the heat, and therefore they're not going to be able to be used in the kitchen, to paraphrase. So therefore, if they're incapable of handling the heat, and then you heated them up, you wasted your time. And that's why Rabba Bar Bar Chana said in the name of Yochanan that you're not allowed to go and heat these new tiles up on Yontif. That's reason number one. The second reason, the Amrei law, others say that Rabba Bar Bar Chana said in the name of Yochanan that they should tzorich lechasmon, that they needed to be forged, they needed to be hardened, and therefore, by the fact that they were new tiles and they hadn't had this hardening yet, when you heat it up, you're finishing the product, and therefore you're masakin mona, and therefore it's not allowed. Now, it's not awesome. Now, here's where we start new. We did up to here yesterday, and now we're brand new, but we now remind ourselves of these two reasons that Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Omer Yochanan had said, either because they may break, because they've never been tried and tested in heat before, or that the heating is actually going to finish the product. So it's not awesome. We learned in the Mishnah in Chulin. This Mishnah in Chulin teaches about various trefos. Now, there are yudches trefos in an animal. I'm only going to be discussing three of them over here. And these are dealing with birds. So dorsa, if you stepped on a bird, Rashi explains, odom shedoras alo, if you by accident or unfortunately intentionally, the person may have stepped on a bird, o shetorfa bekosel, or you threw it against the wall. So this bird now is a chashash that in you stepping on it or you're throwing against the wall, that it has something called risuk evorim, that one of the yudches trefos is this disjointing, so to say, of the bones. And this is a trefa that's not recognizable by looking at the animal, and you're going to need a test of time. It has to survive for 24 hours, plus we'll see you need a bedika to guarantee that it doesn't have this trefa known as risuk evorim. So either you stepped on it or you threw it against the wall, o shirotusa behema, or an animal stepped on it. In any of these situations, you're concerned that this animal may become a trefa of risuk evorim. Now, it has to be alive. Umifachas says it obviously is still moving a little bit, even though, as Rashi says, it's not able to stand up. So you know that this was somewhat seriously hurt. So the question is there an internal trefa? So if it survives, v'sho'asah me'eslais, it survived for 24 hours from the time of the accident. That's what it means, me'eslais. It's a 24-hour literal period of time. So let's say a Tuesday at 9 o'clock in the morning, this occurred. So then at Wednesday at 9 o'clock in the morning, if it still is alive, so then in that situation, you're allowed to go and shecht it, v'sho'achatah, she'ra, it is kosher. The animal is good, but with the one caveat, Amar Rabbi Elozer Bar Yanai, Mishum Rabbi Elozer Ben Antignos, he says, Tzricha Bedika. You have to do an internal Bedika as well to check and see that it doesn't have some other one of the Yudches Trefos. And if you don't find any of the other Yudches Trefos and it had survived for 24 hours, then in this situation, we can say for a fact that it doesn't have the trefa known as risuk evorim, the limbs became disjointed, and therefore it is a kosher animal, it is not a trefa, it's a kosher bird, and you're allowed to go and eat it. Now, boy minei Rav Yirmiyah mirav Zera. Rav Yirmiyah asked Rav Zera the following kasha, and here we'll see why it's connected now to the cases of the tile that I brought down at the beginning of the today's shia. So, boy minei Rav Yirmiyah mirav Zera, he asked the following shayla, mahu l'shoch to biyantif. Let's say Tuesday at 9 o'clock this happened, and that was Erev Yontif. Now, Wednesday at 9 o'clock in the morning, it's Yontif, and you want to go shecht this animal. Are you allowed to do so? Do we say, mi mechaskinon re'usa biyontif? Oh, lo. There is a chance that when you go and do the bedika, you're going to find that the animal's a trefa, and therefore you'll have wasted your time in shechting such an animal. So do we say, since there is a higher likelihood that this animal will be a treifa, this bird will be a treifa, don't go and shechta on Yom Tov because you may be wasting your time. Or they were saying, no, you're halachically allowed to go shechta this animal because there's no proof right now it's a treifa. It survived the 24 hours. It's mefar cheses. So therefore, by definition, it's no longer a risuk evarim, and you only have to be concerned about the other treifas. They're not shchiach enough, they're not likely enough that you're not allowed to go shechta this animal. That's the question that Rav Yirmiyah asked Rav Zeira. Again, Rav Yirmiyah is famous throughout Shas for asking these types of questions. Amalei. So Rav Zeira responds back to Rav Yirmiyah, and he says, Tanina, we learned in our Mishnah, Ein Miladin in Esara Ofim Lislos Behen. We had stated in our Mishnah that you're not allowed to go heat up the tars. If I've eaten Bob, my carbon, at the very beginning of today's shir, the end of yesterday's shir, on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, we asked, what Isser is involved in heating it up? And we said, Amar Rabba Barbar Chad, Amar Yochanan, Hocha Barofim Chadoshim Laskinam, Mipnei Shetzorach Levatkan. So we brought the first reason that Rabba Barbar Yochanan says, which says that there's a chance that you'll be wasting your time because maybe it'll break under the heat. And therefore, you're not allowed to go heat it up because there's no guarantee that it will work. So, you know, you'll have to cook. And therefore, you'd be allowed to heat up something that you know was a good tile. But here, since it never had been heated up before, it might break under the heat, and therefore you can't do it. In other words, you can't go and shech this oaf either, because maybe you're going to find it's a treifa, and you'll be wasting your time. So Rav Zeira wanted to bring a raya from our discussion of Rabba Bar Bar Chana to the case of the dorsa, the bird that was stepped upon, and say you shouldn't be allowed to go shech it on Yantif. Amalei. But Rav Yirmiyah responded and he said, Anan mipnei shetzorech l'chasmon masdin Allah. We had learned the second reason of Rabba Baruch Hanu Rav Yochanan, that you're fixing the tile by doing so, you're hardening it, and not that it may break. So therefore, he said, you can't bring me any raya from that case of the tiles to the question that I asked you about the darsa, the bird that had been stepped on. Tanya, we bring down the following Tosefta, Echod mei v'yesa or. Here we're talking about if people, Rahman al-Islam, on Shabbos are going to do something that is not allowed, they're going to go cook. So who is going to be involved in the prohibition? Let's say they forgot it's Shabbos, they're all doing this by accident, so who has to go bring a chatos? So the Brisa says, the Tosefta says, Echad maybe it's or, the person who brings the actual fire. So he certainly is going to be committing a prohibited malacha on Shabbos. Rashi explains, in the Dibra Masko Kulon Chayavim, maybe it's or the person who brings the fire is Mishum Madhir es Agachelis, Gishumo Halicha, he mislavna me ruach halichoso. The person who's bringing this coal, so as he's walking with it, the wind he's walking with it is flaming the coal, and therefore he's over increasing the fire on Shabbos. The Echad maybe is Eitzim, and the one who brings the wood, so he certainly is going to be Chayiv because he's lighting the wood. Maybe it's Eitzim, Rashi says, or Mishum Madir, he's lighting the wood. The Echad Shofei Sakedera, this is going to be the question that's going to ask, what did this poor guy do? The one who put the empty pot all over the fire, what Isser did this person do that we're going to say Kulom Chayavim? The Echad maybe is Samayim, the one who brings the water to go put it into the pot and heat up the water, so we know why he's Chayiv because he's boiling the water. The Echad knows him as Sochot Tavlin, the one who adds spices over here, so we know he's cooking the spices. So he's going to be Chayiv. The Echad Megis, the one who stirs the pot, so he's also cooking, so therefore he's going to be Chayiv. And therefore, Kulon Chayav, all of them, if they did this by accident on Shabbos, will be Chayiv Achatos. Gemara says, Vatanya, Achron Chayav, the Kulon Pturim, but there's another price that it says only the one who completes the action of the cooking is the one that's Chayiv, not each of the individual ones. They're Potter, they didn't do technically an Issa Daraisa on Shabbos, they wouldn't be Chayiv Achatos. So how do you reconcile these two seemingly contradictory braises without saying that they're two different opinions, which we always try to reconcile if we can without saying it's two different opinions? So we're going to say, Lokasha, not a problem. The first braise is talking about Hod, the Isi, or Meikara. The fire was there from the beginning, so therefore every person who's doing something subsequent to that, the person who's putting in the water, the person who's putting in the tablet, the person who's stirring it, they're doing it on a fire. So therefore every one of them is doing an Issa. And therefore, every one of them is going to be Chayev Achatas. But in the second Braisa, which said only the last person is Chayev, hold the Isa or Lebesol. The other people, they didn't do anything. The guy who brought the wood, so maybe the wood is Muktzah and he's over at Din the Rabbanan, but he's just carrying wood. He didn't do anything. The one who added water to a non-cooking pot, the pot's not on the fire, so he didn't do any Issa Daraisa. The one who stirred it, the one who added the spices, they didn't do anything. It's only the last one who actually lit the pot, the fire underneath the pot. So he's the one that's chayiv for cooking. So the Gemara says, okay, great. Now we reconcile the two brises, and now we can ask our question. Bishlama kulu, as I had explained, we understand why the guy is bringing the coals, he's flaming them up while he's walking. We understand the one who brings the wood and lights the wood, the one who puts the water into the hot pot, the one who stirs it, the one who adds the spices. We understand why all of them are chay, because they're all doing a maisa. Bishlama kulu koav de maisa. Elishovis is a kederu, the guy that put the empty pot down on top of the fire. What issa did he do? My ka'ovid that was saying that he's chayiv in issa daraisa. So, that's again the connection to why we bring this Gemara over here. Amr Shimon Lakish, Rish Lakish says, Hocha b'kederu chadosh askin. Again, we're talking about a brand new kli that had never been fired up before. Or mishum libun ra'ofim naguba. Because he's, again, masakin one. He's finishing off this kli by putting it into the fire. He's hardening it. He's finishing it. And therefore, that is the issa for this guy putting an empty pot on top of the fire. We're talking about a brand new pot that had never been hardened before. And this is like the equivalent of putting it into the kiln and hardening it to make it into a permanent pot. Okay. Tanur Rabbanim, we learn the following braisa. Tanur v'chiraim. Again, a tanur is a one-pot oven, and the chiraim is a two-pot oven, and they're brand new chadashim, so again, we'll have this concern about finishing them off, completing this oven. So, tanur v'chiraim chadashim, these new ovens, harei hein kekol hakelim hanitolim b'chotzer. Since they have not been used as an oven yet, so then they're allowed to be used like any other kli. They're not muktz in any way. They're allowed to be used like any other kli. You can use them for storage. You can put things inside of them. So that's not a problem. However, Rashi is going to explain that each of these is finishing it off in some way. They're all masakin mana. So you're not allowed to go and smear it with oil to like polish it, Rashi says, and to make it smooth. The ain't toshin also a bit matlis, a similar idea. You're not allowed to go rub it with some sort of a shmata, a cloth. Again, it's going to finish it off, Rashi says. And likewise, the ain't mefigin also a bit sonen kidei l'chasman. And you're not allowed to go and put cold water on it, because that is also going to go and harden it, and you're not allowed to finish it off in that way. However, if you're putting in the cold water, if you're putting in the cold water in order to allow you to bake with it right now, so then you are allowed to go and put in the cold water. Now, how come this isn't the problem of being chasman, of finishing it off? So obviously here we're talking about yontif. Shabbos would be allowed to do this, but you're allowed to bake on yontif, and therefore you want to go and bake in this pot. It's too hot right now to bake, so therefore the act of cooling it off is not done for the purposes of hardening it, but it's done to facilitate, allow you to go and bake so you don't burn the bread that you're making, and therefore that's why it's allowed, because simultaneously as you're doing this, you're not just heating it up like we said before, and the baking is not being done right away. First, you have to heat up the tile. You don't put the dough down until the tile is heated up. So therefore, you're being mechasman, the tile, before the act of baking is done. Here, you're putting in the dough into the oven, and you're cooling off the oven at the same time, and therefore, it is considered ochel nefesh, and therefore, it's allowed. Another bride, Satan Rabbanon, molgin esarosh v'esaraglayim. You have an animal, you shechted it on yontif, and you want to go and remove the hairs from the animal in order to make it edible when you cook it. So you're allowed to go and pour hot water. That's what molgin means. Rashi says beroskin. You pour hot water on the head of the animal, v'esaraglayim, on the feet of the animal, to remove the hair. Likewise, umahav hevin osan ba'ar. You can likewise take a fire and burn off the hair. That's allowed as well. Avo, but you're not allowed to go and ein toflin osom becharsis, but you can't go and shmir charsis on it. Rashi explains this charsis is besid, lahosir saron, to put on some sort of depilatory agent like lime. They have a derech havdinin. This is the way the tanners did it, so therefore it looks too much like tanning, and you're not allowed to do this. Likewise, you can't take lo ba'adama, some sort of earth, the lo besid, and some sort of a lime or plaster to go and remove the hair, because these look too much like what the tanners normally do in order to go and prepare the hide for tanning. Likewise, in gozin or some mimisparayim, you're not allowed to go cut off the hair with scissors. This looks too much, Rashi says, like you're shearing it. The merse kitzorich lesar, like you need the hair, so you're shearing it. And likewise, vein goes and say yerek pitisporishlo. You can't do the same thing with a vegetable that has hairs or leaves on it. You're not allowed to go cut it off with a special implement that you normally go and cut off the hairs of the vegetable. Now, the vegetable has already been cut from the ground, Rashi says, Hatolush. Obviously, you're not allowed to detach the vegetable on Shabbos or Yontif. So the vegetable's already been detached before Yontif, and now you want to go and cut off these leaves. Sheesh bo roshi alin near Kovin. It has these leaves that are spoiling on the top of it. Ukmushim, and they're mushy. And goes in Osan, b'tisporishlo. You now use a special implement that you normally would cut this off with. She goes in bo, min ha-mechubar, when it's detached. When it's attached to the ground, you'd be using this. Because if you use the regular implement that you would normally cut it from the ground, now you're using it, even though it's detached, to go cut off these extra leaves, so the person watching you is going to think that you cut it from the ground right now. So it's like a Maris Ayin type of a problem, and therefore you can't use this the implement that you normally would cut it from the ground. You're not allowed to use that implement, even though it's already been detached from the ground, to go and cut off the extra leaves. But you are allowed to go, Abul Mesaknin es HaKundus v'es HaKovios. What are the Kundus and HaKovios? Rashi explains that these are Minei Yirokos, various types of vegetables, Hain, Sheyesh Torach b'sikunan. There's a lot of work and effort involved in preparing these dishes, but you're allowed to do that because it's Simchas Yontif, and you're allowed to go and eat them. Umesikin, and likewise you're allowed to go and heat up the ofen, the purni, to go and heat up a certain type of oven known as a purni. Rashi explains this purni, hein tarin shalonu hagdolim. These are very large ovens. Upiyam betzidam, their opening is not on the top, but their opening is on the side. Lo chayshin latircha, we're not concerned that this is a lot of effort. You're allowed to do this on Yontif, just like you make the kundus and achavios, you're allowed to go and heat up this large oven. If you have a lot of people and you need this larger oven, the lo sagile b'tanu, you can't use a smaller tanu or a chirayim. You need to use this purni, so you're allowed to use it on Yontif. We're not concerned people are going to say, hey, he's cooking for a couple of weeks. No, they're going to assume that he has lots of guests. Likewise, you can heat up water in this antichi, like a big urn. And again, it doesn't look necessarily like you're doing this for a long period of time, even though that's antichi would normally be heating up water for a longer period of time. Nevertheless, you're allowed to do this over here, again, for Simchas Yontif. However, they open the purni chadasha. And here's the reason why this price is brought in. If this oven was brand new, you wouldn't be allowed to heat it up, again, because Shema Tivchas. Here we're concerned, this is like the first reason that we had brought down from Rabba Bar Chana in the name of Yochanan. We're concerned that when you put the heat onto the tile, it may break. So too, this is a brand new oven. When you heat it up, and this is the first time heating up, we're concerned that it's going to tifchas, it's going to have some part of it become pochos, it's going to become missing. Rashi says, Aideisha chadashahi, the nimsa torach shalotzarch, and therefore you can heat up this purni, and it's going to break, there's going to be cracks in it, there's going to be missing parts in it, because it's going to crumble under the heat, and therefore you wasted your time heating it up, therefore you can't do this. This is the first reason that Rabba Bar Chana, Amar Yochanan, had said. Another bright, Tana Rabbanon, ein nochin b'mapuach. Mapuach is a bellows, something that you're going to blow on the fire to go and flame up the fire, to heat up the fire. So you're not allowed to use a regular bellows. That is too much like a weekday activity, as Rashi says, demersei ku'uman osim locha. This is like you're the blacksmith going and heating up this oven to go and do your blacksmith type of stuff or your professional cooking type of stuff that you need to use a bellows to really flame up the fire to get it nice and hot. However, Avol novchin bishofaris, but you are allowed to go and take a smaller bellows, like a pipe. A shofaris is like a little tube, and use that to blow on it, because that's not something that a professional would use. So therefore, anybody seeing you doing this will say, oh yeah, this is a guy, this is cooking in his house on Yontif, and he's just blowing on the fire to heat it up a little bit more. Again, the fire is already there, and you're allowed to use the fire. You have your oven on, you're allowed to raise the temperature on the oven by adding more firewood to it. If you have without electricity, without lights going on, you can go raise the flame. If you have a gas stove and you're going to increase the flame, you're allowed to do that on Yontif. So that would be the same thing over here of using a shofaris. The aim is sakdin sashput, but you're not allowed to go and make the tikkunim, the necessary sharpening or affixing of a spit, so, or sharpen it, you're not allowed to do that because that's too much like misakin mana that you're going to go and fix this kli. You're not allowed to do this, as Rashi says. The Loker of Yehuda, this is not like the opinion of Rav Yehuda, who says Machshiri Ochol Nefesh are allowed. Or alternatively, even if you want to say it's like Rav Yehuda, Inami, Benirtzam Me'erev Yontif, it had been broken on Erev Yontif. And you could have done an Erev Yontif. And even Rav Yehuda says that Machshiri Ochol Nefesh, Efshir Lasos and Erev Yontif, are not allowed to be done on Yontif. And therefore, this could be even according to Rav Yehuda, Divrei HaKol, because it was broken on Erev Yontif, it was not sharp on Erev Yontif, and you should have sharpened it on Erev Yontif, therefore you don't have the right to do it on Yontif, even according to Rav Yehuda. Finally, one more braisa. Tana Rabbanan. Ein mifatzin hakone. You're not allowed to go and smash a reed. Why would you want to do this? We had this previously, 2 days ago on Daf Lamed Beis. Litzlos bo moliach. You want to roast the fish. You don't want to put the fish directly on the griddle, because it will burn that part of the fish that's on the grid, and it will not allow the rest of the fish to be appropriately roasted. So therefore, you put something underneath it to allow the roasting to be more uniform across the entire fish. So you're not allowed to go and break a reed to put it underneath the fish and be able to roast the entire fish properly. However, avo mefatzin, so egos b'matlis, but you're allowed to go smash walnuts by putting them in a cloth. The ein choshin shem otikara. You smash the walnut, you want the pieces to go all over the place, you take a hammer, and you smash the walnut, and the walnut's inside some sort of a towel. So this way, the pieces of the walnut don't go all over the place, and you can eat them very, very easily. So you're allowed to do this. Maybe the towel will rip when you're smashing it with the hammer or whatever you're smashing with it. So ain't choshin shem atikara. You don't be concerned over here that you're going to tear this sodden, this cloth, this matlis, this shmata, when you wrap it around the walnuts and smash them. Now we go to the next Mishnah. But Odom or Rabbi Eliezer, and furthermore, did Rabbi Eliezer say? Rashi points out that this is a little bit out of order, this Mishnah, because we had many things in between the Mishnah on Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph and that statement originally of Rabbi Eliezer and this next statement of Rabbi Eliezer, and Rashi brings down from the Gemara in Erevin that we normally try to put these all together. So he says this is a little bit out of order. In any event, it doesn't change anything that this Mishnah tells us, but the word va'od is a little bit out of order over here, because it should have been put out, this piece of the Mishnah should have been put right after that first part of the Mishnah on Laman Kimmel Omid Aleph. In any event, va'od of Rilezer said furthermore, Omid Adam ala Muktza, as a person is allowed to stand next to a Muktza. Now a Muktza over here, Rashi says, Hatzarech Hazmona, you have food in a storehouse. So you're mistama, not planning on using this food for yantiv, because it's in the storehouse. It's not in your kitchen, it's in the storehouse. And therefore, it requires Hazmona to say, yes, I want to use this now, and it's not that this is designated for some future usage. And therefore, if you stand there, Mo Elislo, this works, Kigon Achse, Velo Achse, the Omar Bein Sodin. So this works according to the opinion that we had previously, that just by looking at something and designating it, that's enough to designate it. That's the Tanakhama's opinion over here, Rabbi Eliezer. We turn to Lamedal Lamed Beis. Now, when is he standing here and designating this? So you have to get around the Meiser problem. So therefore, we're dealing with the case of Erev Shabbos B'Shvius. We're talking here about he wants to designate this for uses on Shabbos, and it's a Shmitiyah, just like right now, Baruch Hashem, it's a Shmitiyah. So there is no din of Meiser. So you don't have to worry about taking up Trumas and Meisers. Alternatively, Rashi says, we could be talking about where already was Ma'usar, the food that you're storing over here. For example, these Grogros and Smukim that you have over here inside this storehouse. So you could have technically taken off mices from them, but that wasn't the common way. They would take off the mices when they took them out. So therefore, that's why Rashi says that it's dealing over here with the case of Erev Shabbos in the Shemitah year. So therefore, there's no problem of Trumas and mices. In Shemitah year, there are no Trumas and mices. You have to treat it with the Kedusha of Shemitah, but you're allowed to eat it, so it's not a problem. So on Erev Shabbos, you want to designate this just by looking at it without demarcating, according to Rabbi Eliezer, without doing anything in an actual mice to make them mezuman, to prepare to be able to eat it on Shabbos. V'omer, all he has to do is say, according to Rabbi Eliezer, Mikan ani ochel mochar, I'm going to take some from over here tomorrow. So a verbal declaration, number one, is fine. And number two, he doesn't have to even say which ones. I'm going to take something from here. And then when he goes and takes it from there on Shabbos, so retroactively through the process of Brera, he's now able to say, these are the ones that I'm using. So there's 2 points over here. Number one, a verbal declaration is fine. And the principle of Brera works. The Chacham disagree. The Chacham Amrim, no. Ashi Yirshom, you have to actually demarcate it. And V'yomar Mikan, the Adkan, I'm taking from here to there. And therefore, that is a double machlokes. Number one, a verbal declaration according to the Tanakhama, Rabbi Eliezer, whereas the Chacham say, no, verbal declaration is not enough. And the Tanakhama, Rabbi Eliezer, holds from Breira, and the Chachamim do not. Now, Tanan Hossam, we learned in the Mishnah, this Mishnah is in Maestros, and it says, Tinokos shetomnu te'enim erev Shabbos. If you have children that hid their te'enim me'erev Shabbos, they want to eat them on Shabbos. But children also have the problem of Trumas and Maisers. V'shachu v'lo isu. And they hid them. Oh, now we have snacks for Shabbos. They have a Shabbos party, and they have snacks for Shabbos, but they forgot to go and take off Trumas and Maisers. So what do you do in this situation? So on Shabbos, you're not allowed to eat them because they were hidden away before Shabbos. So Shabbos is koveya them to be chayev in Trumas and Maisers. And then after Shabbos, let's say Shabbos, they're still, even though they were temporary type of hiding them away. So theoretically, on a weekday, it would be considered a snack and wouldn't yet be chayiv in trumas and maisos. But once it went through Shabbos, Shabbos is koveya for them to be chayiv in trumas and maisos. So therefore, even lematzei Shabbos lo yochlum elim kein isu. They're no longer allowed to eat them unless they take off the trumas and maisos from these tainim that they hid away, from these figs that they hid away. Mara questions this and says, wait a second, Utana Nami, we learned in a Mishnah, also in Maisos, seemingly the opposite. It says, Hamav retain him bechatzeros lichtzos, if someone puts out his fruits in order to dry them, and he wants to have eventually dried fruit, so banu v'nei beso ochlu mehen arai. So his children or the people in the house are allowed to eat them as snacks, the turim, they don't have to go take off trumas and maisos because it hasn't yet been finished. So, why is this a stira? The first Mishnah said that the Te'enim, by going through Shabbos, are mechuyot in Trumas and Maisos, whereas the second Mishnah seemed to say that since they hadn't yet been dried out, so therefore, they're not chayav on Trumas and Maisos, even though it went through Shabbos, and therefore, there seems to be a stira between the two. Is Shabbos koveh or not? So the reconciliation that we have over here is that the second Mishnah is dealing with it hadn't yet been finished. The product wasn't finished. And therefore, since he put it there to dry out, so if it hasn't been Gemara Melachto, then Shabbos is not Koveya. So that's the distinction. Shabbos is Koveya if it's been finished. So the Tainim that the kids hid away were finished. They weren't putting out to dry. And therefore, Shabbos is Koveya for Trumas and Maisos. Whereas the second Mishnah, since it hadn't yet been Gemara Melachto, they were put out Liktzos. That's to make them into dried figs, to make them into gro-gros. So in this situation, they are Shabbos is not Koveya, and they're Pturim from Trumas and Maisos. You can eat them on Shabbos when they haven't yet been dried, and they're still edible, so you can eat them without taking off Trumas and Maisos. So now the Gemara asks the question, based upon these two Mishnayis, Boy mine Rava mi Rav Nachman. Rava asks Rav Nachman the following Shaila. Does Shabbos itself, Shabbos ma'u shetikva muktza l'maiser, b'dover shelo nigmur melachto? In other words, b'dover shelo nigmur melachto are probably unnecessary here because the definition of a muktza is something, for example, like fruits that are drying, and by definition, they're not finished with their melacha. So it's probably a little bit extraneous words over here, and some aren't gorus those words. In any event, what Rava is asking from Rav Nachman is Shabbos koveya the chiyav of trumas and maisos, even if it hasn't been nigmar melachto. For example, in this muktza, which is the fruits that are being set aside to dry and become dried fruit, so they're not really prepared for Shabbos. So can Shabbos nevertheless be koveya the chiyav of trumas and maisos on such fruits? So this was the question. Do we say, mi amrinon, kivan d'chsev v'karasa l'shabbos oneg? Do we say that since we declare Shabbos to be a yomtiv, Shabbos should be an oneg, therefore it's automatically kovo v'afila b'dover shalot nigmar melachto, therefore it's kovei, even for something that is not nigmar melachto, like this muktza, the dried fruit that's not fully prepared? Or do we say, no, dilma, b'dover shalot nigmar melachto kovar. Shabbos is able to be koveya by itself because it's karos and Shabbos onik, it's koveya automatically the chiv of trumas and maisus on anything. However, that's only if it's nigmar melachto. B'dover shalot nigmar melachto, lo kovar. That is the question that Rava asked. Maybe Shabbos cannot be koveya if it hasn't been nigmar melachto. So definitely Shabbos is koveya if it's nigmar melachto. Rava is asking, what about if it's not nigmar melachto? Shabbos is koveya or is Shabbos not koveya? So Rav Nachman answers and he says, Amalei, Shabbos kovas, bein shenigmar melachto, bedover shenigmar melachto, bein bedover shelo nigmar melachto. Shabbos has the power to be koveya. The karasa, the Shabbos owning, is so powerful an idea that Shabbos is koveya, the chiv of trumas and maisos, even in a situation where it's not nigmar melachto. Obviously, if it's nigmar melachto, of course it is, but even in a situation where Rav Nachman says where it's not nigmar melachto, Shabbos is koveya. Rava questions that. Amalei, he says, maybe not. The Eima, maybe we should say, Shabbos is dumi the chotzer. Just like when you bring the fruits into the chotzer, that's koveyit to be a chiv of trumas and maisus, but that's only if it's nigmar melachto. So maybe Shabbos has the same status as a chotzer. Eima, Shabbos dumi the chotzer. Ma chotzer enu kovas el b'davish nigmar melachto. So too, Shabbos, av Shabbos lo tikba el b'davish nigmar melachto. Let us compare Shabbos to the chotzer. Both of them are koveya the din of trumas and maisos, but a chotzer is only koveya if it's nigmar melachto. If you bring in the untied fruit into the chotzer, but it's not nigmar melachto, so then bringing it into the chotzer is not koveya the chiv of trumas and maisos. So maybe that's the way it works for Shabbos too. That's what Rava says to Rav Nachman. Why are you telling me that Shabbos is koveya even b'dover shelo nigmar melachto? Let's compare it to a courtyard, a chotzer, which is also only koveya if it's nigmar melachto, but not if it's not nigmar melachto. So Rav Nachman says, no, that's incorrect. Amalei, Limud. Some have the Girsa Talmud, Limud or Talmud, Oruch Ubiyodeinu. We have a Kabbalah that the Halach is Sheshabbos Kovas, Be'midovah Shenigmar Malachto, Be'midovah Shaloding Malachto. Says, no, we have a Masorah that Shabbos is Koveya no matter what. It's not like the Chatzah. The Chatzah is only Koveya if it's Nigmar Malachto. But Shabbos is Koveya, Be'nigmar, Be'nshalod Nigmar Malachto. That's what Rav Nachman tells Rav. The Gemara says, Oma Mar Zutra, Bered Rav Nachman, Mazutra, the son of Rav Nachman, said, Af Anan Namitinia. We learned the same exact thing that Rav Nachman, the Shabbos is Koveya, Bein Nigmar Malachto, and even Dover Shalo Nigmar Malachto. Because look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, V'odam Rabbi Elezer, our Mishnah started off that said, that Rabbi Elezer said another thing, Ardin, Omeid Odam Alamukta, Erev Shabbos Bishviya Sukhule. Our Mishnah was talking about a person who was saying, Erev Shabbos, that he's making this mukta. Now, the din is taimo de shviyas de la bar yisurihu. The only reason he's able to do this, because we said that there is no concern over here of tevel, because the fruits of the Shemitah year don't have a chiyuv of trumas and maisus. The hefker, and hefker is potter mitrumas and maisus. So therefore, the reason why we said he had to be making it on Erev Shabbos is to make it mukhan. So that implies ha bishar shnei shavua ha chanami di asur. That would imply that in any year where it wasn't a Shemitah year, so then the lack of trumas and maisus would make it that you can't go and use it. Now, my time up, what do you see from this? La mishum de Shabbos kova, in a regular year, even without your designation, Shabbos would be koveya, and therefore can't this be a raya to what Rav Nachman said? Our Mishnah is a raya that Shabbos is koveya be nigmar malachto. Bein shelo nigmar malachto. So Gemara says, lav dafka, that's not a raya, lo. Because you could argue, shiny hossam, our Mishnah is different, because the person was specifically making it. Kivin d'omar, mikan ani ochel l'mochar. Rabbi Eliezer said, I'm designating that I'm going to eat something from over here. His verbal declaration, combined with the din of breira, so Rabbi Eliezer said, that is going to make it mechin. So therefore, kova le ilove. That's what make it irregularly a chayiv in trumas and masos. But maybe Shabbos itself would not, because it wasn't yet nigmar malachto. So therefore, in this situation, it's only because he was kavale ilave that that's why it is chayiv in trumas and masos in a regular. And in this situation, it's considered muchan for Shabbos. Gemara says, so then, why did you tell me the din of Shabbos? Yehochi, my year is Shabbos. Why did it have to be erev Shabbos to make it for Shabbos? The same thing would apply. I feel a b'chol nami. That his declaration that I want to use this, his being making it, causes there to be a chiv of trumas and maisis in a regular year. What's the special din here telling me on Shabbos? Gemara says, no, there's a big chiddush over here. Koch mashula, there's a chiddush over here that I might have thought the tevel muchan hu etzol Shabbos. I might have thought the tevel is considered muchan in regards to Shabbos, because technically, shim avar v'tikno mesukan, since it's not a din d'oraisa, mid d'oraisa, you're allowed to be mesakin your trumas and maisus on Shabbos. The rabbi said it looks too much like mesakin mon, it looks too much like you're fixing something, and therefore the rabbi said that it's an issa mid d'rabbanan. So the chiddush over here is, shim avar v'sikno mesukan, so this is, Rashi tells us, a din milso achrite agab urche. It's teaching us an additional din, in addition to the regular din that it was teaching us, that it can be mechin it for Shabbos. It's also telling us that by definition, tevel is considered muchon on Shabbos, because if somebody went and was, in fact, mafrish the trumas of Isis from it, after the fact, it would be good, because only midi rabbanon that you're not allowed to do this, so therefore, on a derais level, it takes effect. And that's the chiddush over here, that even in a regular year, it's not considered muktzah because it's tevel. It's only considered muktzah because it wasn't muchan. Since the isser is only the rabbanon, it's not considered, Rashi says, muktzah machmas isser, because the din only is a din the rabbanon. Therefore, based upon our Mishnah's usage of these words, telling us, Erev Shabbos b'shvi'is, the omer mikana niyochel amochar, then that is allowed, that comes to teach us this din. Thus, at this point, the Gemara is telling us that you can see that Shabbos is capable of being mechin, even something that is not nigmar melachto. But the Gemara says, valo mosaru choser. But that can't be the case, because when a person just verbally declares that this is going to be where I'm taking my trumas and maisus from, v'shamino leila Rabbi Eliezer, de'amar kolhecha de mosaru choser lo kova, Rabbi Eliezer's opinion is that if in fact your verbal declaration is not, you don't end up taking it, so then you can go put this back and it becomes tevel again, d'tnan, because we learned in the Mishnah in Maisos this exact din. Hanotel zeisim min hamaitan. If a person takes out the olives from the matan, that's the press, the vat, that he goes and makes the olive oil from. So tovel achas b'melach v'yochel. He's still allowed to go and eat them, take one at a time. That's called an achilas aroi. He's allowed to dip them in salt. That's where they would eat their olives and eat it. And it's not a problem that it didn't have trumas and maisis taken from it. However, v'im tovel v'nosam in front of asara, if he takes in front of him 10, so therefore that's considered already an achilas keva, then he would be chayiv to go and take off trumas and maisis. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. But Rabbi Eliezer disagrees. Rabbi Eliezer omer min hamaiton tohar chayiv. If this maiton, this press, was a tohar press, so then he would be chayiv to go take off trumas of isus. Tomorrow we'll explain, Rashi says in a moment, what the chiddush is over here, that we're actually talking about a person who's tameh. So therefore, when he goes and touches them, he's making them all tameh. And he's unable to return them, because when he takes them out, they become tameh. If he puts them back in, they're going to be mixed in with all the others that are tar. So therefore, he can't go and take it out. So if the maiton was tar, meaning he's not going to be able to put them back, so then he's obligated to take off trumas and maisus. However, min hamaiton tameh, if the maiton, the press itself, was tameh, so all the olives in there were tameh, so he then has the right to go put them back. Therefore, he's potter. Even though he took it out, he's potter from taking off trumas and maisus because anything that he doesn't eat, he's going to put back, so therefore it's still considered nachilas aroi, and therefore there is no chiv of trumas and maisers. Based upon this, the Gemara asks, Vavinam ba, maishna reisho, maishna sefa. What's the difference over here in the first case where the maaton was tar, and the second case where the maaton is tummy? So I already explained it. V'yama Rabbi Yavo, reisho v'maaton tar v'gavra tummy. The reisho is talking about that the maaton, the press itself was tar, all the olives in there therefore were tar, but the person's tummy. Therefore, when he takes them out, he's matami them, the lo motzi mahadale. He can't go and return them. However, the Sefer is talking about b'maiton tamei v'gavra tamei. Both of them are tamei. So the olives are already tamei, and the person takes them out, so he's not matami them any more than they already are tamei. And therefore, he can eat what he wants and return the rest, the motzi mahadale. And therefore, it is considered an achilas aroi, and there's no chiyuv to take off trumas and maisus. Now, an oral declaration can't be any different that I'm actually taking it out and returning it. So therefore, how can you tell me that Rabbi Eliezer holds that an oral declaration is koveya if for trumas and maisers? So the Gemara says, masnisa nami b'muktzah tar v'gavra tamei. So say that our Mishnah is talking about exactly that same case as well, that the muksa was tar and the person is tamei, so he takes anything out of the muksa, he can't go and return it. The lo motzi mahadile. So therefore, that's exactly the case. The Gemara says, that's not true. Balu mulzorim va'omdim hein. Because in our Mishnah, we never took them out. It was just an oral declaration. He just said, this is going to be what I'm going to take for tomorrow. So he's making them in that way. But it certainly can't be worse than him putting it back. They're already considered put back because they never left. As Rashi says, he never actually took them out. It was just words. I hear, I declare. If you took them out and you put them back, that is allowed. Below mikva and doesn't kovei it from Iser. So kilo efsho bechazara nami v'lo nitolon ela dibur biyama ein lecha chazara kazu da'afilu mishkal nami lo shaklinu. He didn't take it. Therefore, bottom line comes down that Marzutra's point, when Marzutra Breda Rav Nachman said afana nami tzina, our Mishnah is a raya, is in fact a very good raya, and therefore it is proving to us from our Mishnah that Shabbos is koveya even if it's a dover shelo nigmar malachto. Gemara says, still not so fast. Elama Rav Shimi Barashi, he says, you're going to bring me a raya from our Mishnah? Rabbi Eliezer has another shita that makes that not be a raya that Shabbos is koveya, because even if lo nigmar malachto, because Rabbi Eliezer ka'amis, you're trying to bring a raya from Rabbi Eliezer? Rabbi Eliezer has the following sheet, Rabbi Eliezer l'taimei, d'yama truma kova, b'chol shekein Shabbos. Rabbi Eliezer holds that if you take off trumas and maisers on something shelo nigmar malachto, that also makes it valid trumas and maisers, even though it wasn't yet obligated to do so. And certainly Shabbos, the same thing would apply. As we said, v'koro l'Shabbos oneg, any eating on Shabbos is by definition considered significant. So Shabbos is the same din as if you're taking off trumas and maisos. Even if you aren't obligated to take off trumas and maisos, if you did take off trumas and maisos, so they would in fact be valid trumas and maisos. So to Shabbos, by definition, since all the eating on Shabbos is considered chashuv, it's an oneg, and therefore Shabbos is koveya. But you can't bring your raya to anybody else. You can't bring your raya from Eliezer that Shabbos is koveya in general, bein nigmar melachto, even bein shalot nigmar melachto. And this is true, ditnam, because we learned in the Mishnah and Maisos, peros shetorimon, achelo nigmar melachto, Rabbi Eliezer oser lecho mehen aroi, you see that the Chacham clearly in this Mishnah and Maisos argue with Eliezer. Eliezer says, if you took off Chumas and Maisos, by definition, even with Shalom Nigmar Malachton, so then you no longer can eat from the rest of that Achilas Aroi, because it was Mechoyev already in Chumas and Maisos, so you can't eat an Achilas Aroi in something that was Mechoyev in Chumas and Maisos. But the Chachamim Matirim, the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Eliezer, so therefore, all you can do is say that Rabbi Eliezer holds that Shabbos is Koveya, Bein Nigmar Malachto or Bein Shalom Nigmar Malachto. That you're right, but you can't tell me that that's the opinion of the Chachamim, and you can't therefore Mazutra, pray the Rav Nachman, bring me a raya from our Mishnah, Afanam Namitzinu from our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is only the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer and isn't the opinion of the Chachamim, and we're left at this point still with no answer to our question, is Shabbos Koveya for even Shalom Nigmar Malachto. Mitz Hashem, we'll stop over here, we went pretty far already, and we'll pick up this discussion further in tomorrow's shiur. With that, we conclude today's share.